Welcome to worship this morning at Kelvin. Glad to see you here. Also, welcome to our live streaming audience. We're glad that you could see our service today. Got a number of announcements today. First of all, there was an NRA banquet last night in Nebraska, and so we're having a meal today after church, compliments of Pete and Mary. So it'll be a full meal, roast pork, chicken, green beans, all kinds of good stuff, a full meal. So that'll be immediately after church today. If you have items for the Christian Needs Center and forgot to bring them today, I'll be taking them down on Wednesday. So if you want to slip something into the barrel yet this week, you can do that. Also, a reminder, I think most of you know, we're going to have our prospective pastor candidates in on May 2nd and May 9th. So both of those Sundays, they'll be preaching. We'll be having a meal at noon. We'll have some time to fellowship with them. There are also a few little jobs we need in connection with that. So if you're interested in doing that, check your email or talk to Mike Van Otterloo. I think we need somebody to pick one of them up from the airport, maybe, and somebody to give some tours. So check with Mike. He's been doing a nice job of getting these visits lined up. Okay, Jan Hughes, if you're not aware, she broke her hip. She had been having trouble with her eyes and been doctoring, and then still trying to take care of her dogs, and she fell and broke her hip, but Jeremy told me he'd heard that she's doing well. She's up and moving around and walking, and so we thank God for that healing. Okay, today we have with us Pastor Matt Wentz. He's been here before, and we appreciate him coming again. And he's going to be here again next Sunday because the guy I had overbooked and double booked, so he called me and I said, we'll take care of it. So now I got another guy down the line that he won't be able to say no to me after that. So I got him on my radar. So okay, well, I think that's about it for announcements, and we'll let Pastor take over here.
God is good, and he's full of grace. His compassion endures forever. And you and I get to be the recipients of blessings like that from week to week and day to day. And I hope you're in the process of, in your spiritual walk, counting your blessings. Sometimes it takes a long time. This is just a little insight from Matt Wentz. I was born with no toes on my left foot, so if I'm trying to count my blessings, I'm done a little bit sooner than you guys are. I'm just saying, you know, God just said, okay. But anyway, I hope that you are in a process of this whole Easter season and sharing in the resurrection, that you are in the process as a believer of counting your blessings, of you're just in awe of what God is doing and what he's done in your life, and he'll continue to do. He's not left his throne. He's not left us alone. We're not abandoned. We're not orphans. He is still in control of every moment of our life. And we should rejoice in that. And with that, we're going to sing our opening hymn. Let's sing together. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
Now we get to share in God's greeting. And I know that, you know, some are still wearing masks and some are not. So if you need to say hi to somebody across the room or give them a quick hello, this would be a good time to do it. This morning when I was at St. Paul Church, there was a little guy that was quick to be hugging lots of people. And I just thought, you know what? As the community of believers, we probably missed that closeness we had before. And so we're probably all anticipating COVID-19 to be over. Lots of people are getting vaccinated and we're becoming a little bit more healthy. Numbers are going down. And in the hospital, it's not as tragic as it was. So we can thank God and the medical staff and the scientists world that are kind of doing a good job to kind of help us through this pandemic. So you can greet each other, say hello, quick hi, and wave, and that would be good. Thank you for playing for us, gals. Appreciate you. Let's share in the prayer of confession. O God of Shalom, we have built walls to protect ourselves from our enemies, but these walls also shut us off from the receiving of your love. Break down those walls. Help us to see that the way of your heart, there's a reconciliation of our own hearts with our enemies. Bless them and us, that we may come and grow in love for each other and for you through Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I just want to thank you for the pardon that we've received from you, from your Son, the gift of him willingly giving his life for ours. God, it's not just that the sins have been rolled away or put on a scapegoat. They've been atoned for through the sacrifice of your Son. Father, we get to celebrate that in this time of Easter, in this time of celebration, in this time of realizing in our hearts, in our lives, that Christ has truly conquered the grave. He's defeated sin and death. And through that, Father, we have victory that we can have only in the name of Jesus. We're so glad that we can have that assurance of salvation, of pardon, you loving us every moment of our lives. For that, Father, we come with joyful hearts, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not trying to play silly, but when it says congregational prayer, I might have missed this last time. Do you guys pray? Is that what that means, or do I just lead us in another prayer? Okay, so I can do that. I mean, and you can too, and so my encouragement is whoever new comes in, they might be saying, hey, you know what? You pray. You help me in this time of congregational prayer, all right? So that's just me just stating maybe the obvious, but that's okay. Here in a little bit, we're going to come to the Lord together and say the Lord's Prayer. And I really, and I'll just tell you that that's not my tradition, but I really love it. I think the Lord's Prayer and how he set it up to kind of encourage us to pray like that should be a good teaching moment for us as we go through our lives and we go through our weeks and our days with him, that we just kind of think, you know, God, you are holy and we're going to just worship you. And so it's really good that we can share in that together and share in that kind of as community. I think that really brings some power and some credibility to what God's doing in your life and in mine. So let me pray with you and then we'll go together in the Lord's Prayer. Father, you are divine, and we are the branches. And for that, I'm thankful. Father, you have given us so many great gifts. Father, you've given us talents and abilities that we're supposed to use for the betterment and building up of your church and of your people, of your bride. I pray, Father, that we would be willing to use those gifts in the way that you've designed for us. Father, and if we don't know what those gifts are, we can kind of find out. We can ask the new pastors that will be coming. We can ask some of the leaders here what our gifts are. Because, Father, you've done it in such a way that people see it, even if we don't know it. So, God, thank you for those gifts. Thank you for the promise of gifts in the future. Blessings that we're going to uncover, we've yet to find, and yet you've got in store for us. Father, I am so glad that you're in charge of every detail of our life. Forgive us when we forget that. Help us, Father, to remain true and strong in our walk with you, in our relationship with other people. Father, I just ask that you would continue to watch over this congregation. I know there are diligent people who are seeking and asking wisdom for the right person to be here in Lamar's and for this church. And so just be with that. You've already been with that committee that's looking diligently for the person that's supposed to be here with their family. Again, just ordain them, ordain that process. And Father, just give this church patience as they continue to search. Father, give the guys and gals involved in that wisdom and insight into you and how this congregation needs to be led. Father, thank you for all of that, and let's join together in praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I have some good news for you. In the bulletin, it says that the scripture reading is going to be Luke 24 and a bunch of verses following. I'm going to give you sort of the end thought of the message now, and I'll come back to it, but it's going to be Psalm chapter 1. This should be you and I as we live our daily lives. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree that's planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff. The wind blows away, therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I just want you to know in Psalm chapter 1, there's a really great progression that kind of takes place, the standing, the sitting, the walking. And you and I are going to have that hopefully applied to our life today through the message. So, again, listen, because the sermon is going to entail that whole Luke passage of Scripture, all right? Some of you watched me as I walked in, and you thought, well, that guy has a fedora and a Bible. And you're thinking, I wonder if that'll preach. Well, the sermon title is The Talk of the Town, and I tried to look it up when that first became a phrase that was used. And I was hoping in my research that it would have been, you know, the whole roaring 20s and 30s, and somebody gangsterish did something evil and sinister, and it was the talk of the town. Hey, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. I might need that. You never know. It didn't happen. There was a song written in 1933 called The Talk of the Town. There was a movie in 1942 entitled The Talk of the Town. And there was a song in 1960 somehow in Britain. I don't know if it was the Beatles or who. I didn't look that far. But they redid the song The Talk of the Town. And you're thinking, yeah, so big deal. So what? Why did you entitle your sermon The Talk of the Town? Well, Luke chapter 24 is going to give us answer to that. Now, for the cheesy illustration, let's see if we can make this at least the talk of the moment. One time, we'll get it on the second one. Oh, it was there. Last time. Okay, and then when it goes on, and then you roll it down your hand and you sing, there's no business like show business, there's no business I know. That could be the talk of the town. Now, listen, Matt Wentz, in Gulf War, so 91, 92, whenever that happened, Matt Wentz became the talk of the town in Litchfield, Nebraska. You can look up Litchfield. It's a little town, a little over 600 or thereabouts. How I became the talk of the town in Litchfield, Nebraska during the Gulf War is that I called the Pentagon. Say what? I called the Pentagon. And the reason I called the Pentagon, because Saddam Hussein was acting insane. And the reason I called the Pentagon is because I'm watching all this stuff and near the Baghdad airport and everything's exploding and everything's going bonkers. And I called the Pentagon and I said, he is in the basement of the El Rashid Motel. He's playing this game with no rules. He doesn't really care. All the newscasters around the world are in the El Rashid Motel. And that's a pretty safe place for him to be. So that was an evening, and I actually came to church. It was late. We were having Bible study with the Methodist group, I think, at the same time. And so I apologized for being late, and I said to them, I just got off the phone with the Pentagon. And they're like, whatever, April Fool's has passed, and you're the biggest fool at last. No, seriously, folks, I did. So I told them, my brother at the time was a warrant officer in the Navy, and he's kind of laughing. He said, way to go, Matt. You call the Pentagon, and you have this really cool information and thought. Some janitor answers the phone at the Pentagon, and he gets credit for this, you know, wonderful revelation of he's in the El Rashid Motel downtown Baghdad. Well, 2 weeks later, when the news people around the world said, we think he was sheltered up in the El Rashid Motel in the parking garage, people in Litchfield just went bonkers because they remembered that I had said, that's where he's at. So that's at least a little bit of the talk of the town. Now, I know that through some of us, through our retired sheriff that's not here this morning, there's been some talk of the town in Lamar's that kind of circulated around his office. In fact, a few years ago, big Myrtle trial and all that stuff. You remember that? So there's lots of ways to be a part of the talk of the town. And trust me, you don't have to call the Pentagon to do that. But in Luke chapter 24, I just think this whole narrative is just awesome because it's two people. One of them's mentioned by name, and we talked a little bit about this last time I was here, but we're going to go more details now. Two guys are just kind of bummed out with the whole events that have happened the week before. The whole triumphal entry and Jesus coming to Jerusalem, and he's not the king that's going to reign by force, and their hearts are really troubled. I mean, they're really moved by everything that happened, the trial, the beating of Jesus, the everything. They're just wrapped up in all of it. And that's what they're talking about. Well, then Jesus comes along, and for whatever reason, they're prohibited from recognizing him. And maybe that's just God's plan, just a good sense of humor. I don't know, but I find it interesting as they're talking, then Jesus says, well, what are you talking about? You don't know anything about what's going on in Jerusalem? Are you the only one that doesn't know? And they're looking at the ground, they're a little bit downcast, and they're just saying, you know, all these things. And Jesus says, what things? Now listen, because the narrative I think is really wonderful, and it kind of speaks to you and I being involved in, as it were, the talk of the town. And what people should be talking about when they know us and meet us is that we know Jesus. And if that's not priority number one, it should be. I mean, because we have a message of hope and salvation for the world that right now sometimes they're just not listening. They may not even know that that message is for them. And that's what you and I get to share and be a part of the talk of the town. So in Luke chapter 24, when he asks them what things, and then just listen, because this is what they say. Again, one of these guys is mentioned, the other one isn't. It's not probably of the exact 12. Hang on a second. I have a wild hair growing across. All right, I'm good now. You guys might have been able to see that. I felt it. It didn't go well. Jesus said, what things are you talking about? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. The prophet, the powerful word and deed before God and for all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we'd hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. Now let's stop for a second, because that redemption of Israel in their mind is Romans are going to be kicked out. We're going to rule again. We're going to be the children of God, children of Israel. It's our rule, and we're going to be able to do that. And we're just going to, yeah, with power and might. Not quite so. At least this time when Jesus was here. When he comes back, it'll be different. So then they crucify him. They're hoping he would be the one who's going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning, but he didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. It's because he's not there. Because the greatest question of all history would have been what the angels asked, why are you seeking the living among the dead? And that was the greatest question. So right now, that's why they didn't see it. Now, again, these guys' eyes are still closed. They're just kind of not there. They're full of grief. They're full of fear. They're full of all those emotions that go in after seeing what had happened to Jesus and talking about all those things that had happened. So they're busy in conversation. Now, this really, I don't think, is a rebuke, but listen to it, because it kind of is a little bit from Jesus. Again, they still don't know who he is, but he's just talking truth to them. He says this, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then at the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all of Scripture concerning himself. Isn't that great? I mean, you have the law giver, you have the law provider, you have the Lamb of God, you have the Word of God in flesh with you, and your eyes are still closed to who he is, and he's talking about Moses and the prophets and everything that's contained in Scripture, and he just systematically unfolds that and says, that one, that's about me. That one there in Isaiah, that's about me. Could you just imagine, as he was sharing with them and the joy that he had in talking about Scripture and those things that were foretold of him and of the mathematical improbability of anybody fulfilling even five of those, and Jesus fulfills over 60 of them? It's incredible. It's a beautiful picture. And yet these people are talking on the road to Emmaus, and they're not understanding what Scripture has been said. Let me give you just a little bit of a highlight. In fact, in my Bible, your Bible, it's just going to be about a page away. I just want to remind you of the depth of what Scripture is, of what Christ is talking about regarding the prophecies concerning him and his life and his death. In John chapter 1, in just the first few verses, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, but the darkness had not understood it. The whole idea of just that living Word, that whole Christ incarnate and bringing God's promise to the people, not only of Israel, but of all the world. Pretty incredible. So you have these two people talking on the road to Emmaus, and they just don't get it. Well, as they approached the village at which they were going, Jesus acted like he was going on further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went with them to stay with them. Now listen, because I just, this next little bit I just think is wonderful, powerful, classic Jesus. Because they don't know yet, but here's the whole conclusion, at least part of it. When they're at the table with him, and he took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and began to give it to them, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. How awesome is that? I mean, Jesus is praying and breaks bread and he kind of, oh yeah, this is in remembrance of me, my body broken for you. Oh yeah, that's familiar. Oh yeah, all the things that you talked about from Scripture, all the things that we were talking about in Jerusalem, all the things that were involved in the trial and involved in the beating and involved in the crucifixion and in our hope isn't going to be dashed because he's risen. Amen. Yes, he's risen. And so they hear that, they see that. Here's what happens. They get up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Oh wait, sorry, I didn't mean to skip that. Took the bread, their eyes were open, they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked about us on the road and opened up the Scripture to us?" Can I just give a duh? I mean, we're talking the Son of God, talking about Scripture, talking about God's promise to all of people, and these two are talking about it, and then all of a sudden their hearts are enlightened. Didn't our hearts just burn within us? It wasn't anything we ate. It was Jesus talking life to us, and how incredible is that? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were assembled together, saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen, and he appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened to them on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. And maybe the 12 said, duh. I don't know. I don't think it's Hebrew or Greek, but I'm just thinking, how incredible is that, that these guys are like, it really happened, because they were mourning and they were sorrowful and they were like, it's the third day and he said he was going to raise from the dead and we're just not sure and we don't know what's going to happen to us. We don't know if we're going to be persecuted. We don't know. And then Jesus just comes along and says, hey, here I am. In fact, the next little verses, he says, peace be with you. He comes into the room. They're thinking they're seeing a ghost. And he said, well, you want to touch my hands? You want to see my side? Ghosts don't have flesh and blood like I do. They were still doubting, is what Scripture says. They were just like Thomas. They would have been like you and I if we'd have been there, full of doubt, full of wonder, full of what's all this about. This is the part that I think is funny, and I think Jesus did it on purpose. So he's in the midst of them, and he knows that they're having trouble thinking, are we seeing a ghost? Are we seeing the resurrected Christ? We're not sure. We don't know. So then he says, hey, you got anything to eat? Got any snacks? Okay, they gave him some broiled fish. And he didn't say, curses, broiled fish again. He just took the fish and ate it. And he's like, ghosts can't do that. It's not really a ghost. It's really me. Come on, fellas. I showed myself to the two on the road to Emmaus. I'm showing myself to you now. You've got to get with the program because you've got some really big things that you're supposed to do in the future. But I like the fact that as he comes into their presence and they're still full of fear and full of wonder and full of doubt, he just says, peace be to you. Man. Because I would have been afraid too. I'd be like, okay, I heard what you said, and I tried to listen to you for the 3.5 years that you've been with us, but not everything you said made sense, and I didn't know that it was really going to happen, that you were going to conquer the grave and be victorious over sin, and I didn't know that, so I'm a little bit fearful too. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood and said to them, peace be with you. They are terrified and they are frightened. So again, he eats the fish. After he ate the fish, he ate it in their presence. But then listen, he says this. This is what I told you when I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So he's kind of rehashing what he told the guys that were on the road to Emmaus. He's talking now to the 12. He's talking to the guys who are going to impact the world. And he's saying all of this had to take place in order for the fulfillment of Scripture. Then he opened up their minds so they could understand Scripture. And I love that. I mean, yeah, he did it with the guys to Emmaus. Now he's doing it to the 12. And it's like not just a light bulb. We're talking a whole stadium lights up. And they're like, I do get it. I do understand the 3.5 years that you were trying to teach us and tell us about who you were and what you were going to be giving to the world. I finally get it. This is what is written, that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses. All these things I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That's the whole talk of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole talk of it matters about you being involved in the talk of the town. It matters about how you're going to conduct your life and how you're going to live it out. And now we're not talking to the 12. I'm talking to the 57. I don't really know if that's the number, but it's pretty close. I'm talking to you guys because you and I have a responsibility for the resurrected Christ, and that is we have a story to tell to the nations. We have a story of hope. We have a story that brings hope from despair. We have a story that brings life to death. We have a story that transforms people's lives because it's really a sin issue. It's really God giving his best for us, paying the price of our sin through his son Jesus. That's what we have. And in response to that, we get to tell people the good news about what Jesus has done in our lives. We get to tell them the wonderful story about, you know what, if you want to be the talk of the town, maybe the talk you need to be involved in is the talk about Jesus transforming lives, yours, hopefully theirs. Well, I want to share just another little passage of Scripture with you, Psalm chapter 1. And I read this earlier, but I just want to highlight it again because it's a difference between us and the world. It's how we interact and how we do life. It's how we're going to be walking about and talking. So here's the progression. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but he delights in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates upon it day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You want to read on the next few verses? Not so with the wicked. There's judgment. There's destruction. So the choice really is yours. Are you going to be a part of the talk of the town of Jesus and his resurrection and the power that he has over sin and death? I hope so. Because really to be a part of the talk of the town, you honestly, you do not have to call the Pentagon and have some janitor promoted because he told you don't have to. You just have to tell people the good news about Jesus. And it really is good news. And if you understand it in your life and your heart, and it's real to you, it needs to become real to your friends and neighbors too. I really think as Christian people, as the people of God, we have some divine appointments that sometimes we're just not picking up and listening to. Maybe we're hindered from recognizing God working in our lives. I don't know, but I just think sometimes we just need to say, Holy Spirit, yes, that didn't come from me, that didn't come from a thought I had, that came from you, move me forward and let me be like Christ. That would be the talk of the town that would be for eternity. That would be the talk of the town that transforms lives, your neighbors, your friends, your family, the family of God, people who maybe really haven't heard the whole message yet about salvation. And they need to. And part of who they need to hear it from, trust me, it's not pastors on Sunday morning. It's not. If you were to look at the amount of people that come to know the Lord through a sermon time and the church gathering like we're supposed to on Sunday morning, it's about 3% of people who come to know Jesus. It's in the high 80% of people like you and I who are talking to a friend or a neighbor, a family member, and we just share with them the reality of Christ and the Scripture. That's how people come to know the Lord. So if you want the higher percentage, you be involved in sharing the good news. You be involved in the talk of the town that the people on the road to Emmaus were. you talk about Jesus and you talk about those things that happened and you share with people the good news whenever you can. It doesn't mean we have to shove it down anybody's throat because that doesn't work either. But building relationships with people, communing with them around the table, sharing a meal with them, and I know now we're still kind of, wow. God's in control even among the COVID-19. He really is. And there are still people that are in this world that need to hear a message of hope. And part of that preaches really well during the week when you and I go out as friends and neighbors sharing with people around us. We have a transforming message. We have a message that is not just the talk of the town, but the talk of eternity and talk of heaven. We need to talk like that. If we bear the name Christian, that's how we need to live. I want to tell you a thought that just came to mind when I said that. When I was in Bible college, there was a gal from Winston-Salem Bible College, and she helped us understand that the I-A-N on the end of Christian, she says, you know what that stands for? She said, Christian without I-A-N means I ain't nothing without Christ. And I thought that was really true. You and I have great hope to give to a world that seems hopeless. We have a great light to a world that's living in darkness. We have Jesus, and it's the answer. It's not just the Sunday school answer. It's the answer for everything in life. And we have a great responsibility to be able to share in that. Let's pray one more time, can we? Father, thank you for your word being so clear. Thank you, Father, that you trust us with that word, that we're supposed to have it as a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Father, it will enlighten things that we do, how we think. Father, it will help us in how we're supposed to act. Father, right now it seems like the world is just in so much turmoil. And yet, the response to that should be the Christian community just living for Christ, moving to meet needs of people. Father, like our prayer this morning said about breaking down walls of division, that would really come from us because we understand life. We understand how you loved us in that we were unlovely and you cared for us anyway to send the very best gift that we could ever have. That would be your son who is willing to die for our sin. Father, would you help us with that? Would you help us with the message of hope and of truth and of salvation that we have to share with our neighbors and our friends? There are all kinds of people that just don't know. And some of them, they honestly have never heard how much you care for us, how much you love us. So, Father, I'm thankful that salvation is a message of hope and of grace and of love. And it's all demonstrated through your son, Jesus, who is willing to give the ultimate sacrifice of his life for ours. Father, there would be none of us who would be worthy of that, none of us who could do anything to have that, but you gave it anyway. You bestowed upon us, you lavished upon us your grace and your mercy through your son Jesus. Father, may our eyes be opened. May we come to understand as we have heard scripture broken for us this morning that your son really cares for us and loves us. I'm thinking that's a pretty marvelous message. Father, as we go out from this place, would we share it with joy? Would we share it with the hope that we have in Christ? The blessing that we have to walk in his resurrected body, that Father, really as Christian people, we bear the light. We're asking people to follow. So help us to live out our life as we follow Christ, obedient to your word, and listen to your Holy Spirit as it leads. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
A story to tell to the nations. If you'll take out the old the hymnal and return to page 296, we have story to tell to the nations, and then PowerPoint people will say victory in Jesus for the song of for the closing song. Victory in Jesus closing song, okay? So 296, Angeli, it's in the hymnal, okay? And so let's rise and sing.
Thank you, Miriam, for the audible. It worked just well. Appreciate that. What a blessing it is to just be with you guys, to be able to share. I'm glad that I could help out Brother Dave in his search for people that would come and share. And really, it's just my delight to be a part of this community and you guys, and to help you with the message of hope. We have that. We have that in our hearts, in our lives. And honestly, we just need to learn how to speak up about that and how to share that truth that we have in Christ. It's not hard. Sometimes it can be a little bit intimidating. I can remember being threatened once in Bible college because we left a woman's house and we didn't share the whole gospel message. We didn't share the whole gospel message because the lady basically said, thank you, I've had enough, and you can leave now. And we did. And I get back to school, and there's a guy that's mad because I said, you know what? She asked us to leave her house. We weren't able to share anything else except for what we had shared. But he was ready to come to blows with me, and I thought, wow, really? I'm trying to live my life for Christ and learn some things from classes, and you're threatening me with bodily harm because, you know, I guess she didn't come to know the Lord. She certainly could have later, but I'm just saying, you know what? Cast the seed out there. That's our responsibility. Put the seed out and be a blessing and watch God cause the increase. That's what he's going to do. So go in peace and live your life because you're living it for Jesus. That would be a benediction that I think we can work with. Closing song. Thank you.